Felger and Mass.
Eagle sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah?
So sporty.
Oh, yeah?
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah?
Sports in your face.
Yeah?
Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah? 98.5, the Sports Hub.
To your phones, as promised, Felger and Maz. Felger back in the A-hole chair. Maz and Murray alongside. Let's grab Josh, driving on 93 on Marcus Smart. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, guys. I'm actually from Chicago, so I felt like I had to chime in a conversation about Smart to the Bulls. When you talk about overpaying, the Bulls would love to overpay Marcus Smart. You got to remember, this organization, all they care about is those defensive scrappy guys that can't score. I mean, we pay big bucks to Gibson. We love Joakim Noah, even though he airballs free throws.
Butler.
We love Jimmy Butler, exactly. He turned out to be decent offensively. But, yeah, the Bulls would definitely overpay. And as far as Levine goes in his shooting, his percentage is below.
Josh, I don't want to like go too far down the rabbit hole of the Bulls. I don't care about them. And you can talk about all these specifics that you want. 30 teams have a chance. 30 teams. Okay? If Marcus Smart was the player you said he was, I said he was, there's going to be one of 30 that's going to figure out a way to pay the guy and get him in there, and no one has, to the point where Happy Walters has to go to Vegas to drum up support and drum up, you know, gossip on his client. It's ridiculous. So Marcus Smart is not who you think he is. You've overrated him. You've overrated.
And when there was that story leading into free agency that the Pacers might be involved, like that kind of made sense. Like, that's a team that gave the Cavs a really good series and almost beat them in 7 games in that first round. They seem like they're on the up and up. They need a player like that. Nothing. Not a peep. They got to look at the offense, right? Like, the guy's a 30% shooter. They feel like it's never going to come.
See, I just think he's a perfect guy on a team like this.
Exactly, on a good team.
He'd be a great fit in Philadelphia.
Right.
And so, what? Like, where are they? They've got all the cap space in the world, don't they? Didn't they have the room to sign LeBron if they wanted him? So they've certainly got something for Marcus Smart. He's someone you would take away from the Celtics, add to you. He could match up, if you're Philly, against Kyrie Irving. Like, that'd be a great signing for Philly.
Give them some much-needed sack.
I would think. Give them some sack, some toughness, some edge. Match up perfectly against the Celtics. Not a peep. And that's, so, like, I'm surprised, because if I'm Philly, I'm going to get that player. I want that player. But he only works on a good team where he's a role guy.
Exactly. There's not a ton of teams that can really use a guy like that.
So there's a handful, though. I mean, he'd be great on Houston if they, you know, if they would have, because again, he could match up against all those guards in Golden State and again, give Houston desperately needed defense and edge and all those things. Like, I could come up with 5 really good fits for him. No one wants him.
Okay, but a year from now, when he's unrestricted, do you think he'll get $11 million a year?
I would like to think so.
He will.
Let's see.
He will. I'd be willing to bet it.
So then he'd be stupid to sign your 4x11 right now.
Well, which is why, to me, the Celtics should still do it. Like, if I'm the Celtics, you know, earn some goodwill. Give the guy his deal. Keep him happy. Get him on board. Do all of that. Because at the end of the day, you'll end up a little ahead of the game. You know, he'll get more than that on the open market. He will.
Here's David in Hull. Go ahead, David.
Hey, what's going on, Mike? So I just want to let you know that soccer has arrived. You just got to lower your expectations on what soccer means to arrive. Bob Kraft invested in the Revolution $5 million. He could sell it for $150 right now. The English Premier League ratings on NBC Sports are through the roof. MLS is never going to be the best league. All right, so we got to lower that expectation. European soccer is booming. Everyone wears the jerseys. And one more quick point, Mike. Croatia wins the World Cup Sunday. It would be the biggest upset in world sports because 8 teams have ever won the World Cup, ever. And they're all blue bloods.
Yeah.
Them winning would blow everything out of the water.
Okay, go Croatia, even though there's plenty to pick apart with Croatia. Not that I'm any fan of Croatia, but I can't root for the French. The sport's already arrived. It has. I mean, again, I asked you if it's a Wimbledon match, and they're both on roughly the same time. If Wimbledon's on or the soccer's on, what are you watching?
Soccer.
Even if you hate soccer, Maz. So it's like, it's already sort of there. It's already, you know, and again, when I was a kid, tennis was bigger. Golf, I mean, are you more interested in golf? I know.
I'd watch golf.
You go golf.
I'd watch the soccer.
I think most people will go soccer. Certainly the younger demos. I mean, it's not even close.
Although if you gave me a crap tournament, you might be able to talk to me, you know, talk me into the soccer. But the Wimbledon one, I'm not even sure it's all that close anymore. I couldn't even tell you who's winning Wimbledon, right? I have no idea.
And again, when we were kids, it was huge. It was just huge. Nick in the car. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, what's going on, Mike? Good to have you back. First things first, I saw a stat. Neymar spent 14 minutes on the ground during the tournament. 14 minutes. That's an absolute joke. Secondly, when it comes to soccer arriving, next year, next World Cup in 4 years, 2020, takes place in November. How are you going to get the U.S. to follow a team that's in November during football season?
Great point.
Thanks for your time, guys.
Okay, so part of the allure here is that it just comes at a great time. There's a big gap in the sports calendar. Everyone was off last week, and there's still a lot of us who are sort of on and off. And so it's a great product to have on in the middle of a weekday in the summer when you're off. Like, just, it's there, it's on, there's no commercials, like, perfect timing. And I love the midday stuff, right? I just think it's perfect. The next one, because it's in Qatar, in the effing desert, where it's 100 degrees, they have to move it to the winter, where it's going to go up against the NFL, November, December, I think.
I don't even know this.
And I don't even know what the times of the matches are going to be. And it's like, no. That changes it for a lot of people.
Yeah, like, that's a major mistake.
Like, what are you doing?
Although, then again, I mean, I don't know that they're necessarily going out of their way to appeal the American public.
They should.
You know, but if, and if the Americans are in it, though, don't you think we'll watch?
Yes, we will. We will. But again, that'll be 8 years between World Cup appearances, and that has left a mark, as it should have. Rick in Alston. Go ahead, Rick.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Sorry, I want to disagree on something you said a couple of segments back. I think that the lack of ratings isn't as indicative of the popularity of the sport. It's the terrible TV schedule. It's in the middle of the day. I'm looking back at the 2014 schedule when I was in Brazil, and the U.S. played Portugal at 5:30 at night. It's much easier for folks to watch a game at that time of the day. And I honestly think that the fever pitch for soccer is going to be 5 to 8 years from now. The U.S. national team has this Pulisic guy who's like a once-in-a-generation player.
You're not going to get me to buy in on that, Rick. I've been saying that for 4 years. Pulisic and all these kids with the U.S. and Klinsmann changing the program, and nope, I'm out. Sorry. Do that on your own time. But the ratings is about the U.S. not being in. Period. Story over. And that's it. What I'd like to see is a true comparison of non-U.S. games last year versus non-U.S. games this year. And I want them to break out the Univision Telemundo numbers. I'm sorry, and I don't, you know, obviously those numbers count too, but for the sport really to grow, it's got to be about those of us who are consuming hockey, basketball, baseball, football. Like, those are the ones they've got to win over. They already have, you know, minorities and people from other countries who already follow soccer. So back out the Telemundo, back out the Univision, back out those numbers. Tell me what non-U.S. games did last year for ratings versus non-U.S. games and ratings this year.
Well, at the very least, you should be able to go final against final come the beginning of next week.
Well, the U.S. hasn't gone past the quarterfinals forever. So just give me quarterfinal numbers each of the last 5 years and let's compare. Like, that's something I'd like to see. Murray, get on that.
I was waiting for it. Welcome back, Mike.
Andrew in Dorchester. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Salga, what's going on?
What do you got?
I got a question. What about, so if Marcus Smart let go by the Celtics, what do you think about Jamal Crawford? Be a nice pickup, $1.5 million.
Sure, the microwave, right? Like, he just instant offense off the bench.
Yeah, that's all he's ever been. Is purely, I mean, he won the Sixth Man of the Year award a few years back, I think. But that's all he is. He's a pure second unit scorer.
When I talk about Marcus Smart, if they lose Marcus Smart, you know what I want them to do? Nothing.
Well, I was just going to say, how is Jamal Crawford a replacement for Marcus Smart?
You don't need another guy to come off the bench and score. You got that in Rozier.
No, like, I would say, if you want to get Jamal Crawford, who I'm not even sure they need,
go get Tony Allen if you want to bring back a former guy like
Bingo.
That.
Bingo. Right. Go get yourself a defensive dig-in guy who will fight. Otherwise, get Smart and Crawford. Like, they shouldn't be mutually exclusive. Crawford should have nothing to do with Smart. That guy is purely give him the ball and let him shoot. That's it.
Derek in Foxborough. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know a lot of people don't want to hear about soccer, but it is the most popular sport in the world.
I don't care about the world. I'm with the people. I don't care what's the most popular sport in the world. You go over to Europe, you know what's popular over there? Formula One racing. Is there anything more useless than auto racing? Horrible. So they like that and cycling. So I don't care what the world likes.
Okay.
Take that somewhere else. I don't care.
Okay, but anyway, I'm with you guys. I don't want France winning this thing. To me, though, a Bush League team, I don't know if you remember the 06 World Cup where the guy headbutted the guy, but I don't like them.
Zidane, right?
Zidane, very good. Zidane, however you pronounce it. The French team, if you watch them, oh, they're brilliant. They're tremendous.
That Mbop kid.
Boca, yeah. Poca, like, I don't know their names. Like, but,
no, but offensively, they look,
oh my God,
force.
Some of the stuff they were doing the other day was just filthy. They're awesome. It's the country I can't.
It's amazing to me that there can be such universal disdain for the French.
Oh, my God. I just can't.
It really is. It's unbelievable.
I can't stand it.
Can't bring myself to root for the French. It's like, it's amazing how many times you hear that without knowing anything about the soccer team, which I don't. I don't know. They might be great for all I know. You tell me they're like highly skilled in finesse, which does not surprise me.
They're really good.
But nonetheless, I do look at them and I say, I can't root for the French.
You can't possibly, no matter how many horrible things the Croats have done in history or recently, you always feel like the French are worse.
Yeah, those arrogant SOBs. No way.
I can't. Oh, it's a wonderful place to go have some cheese, though.
Right? Oh, yeah. Really, yeah. Oh, yeah. Give the world some good things. Wine, cheese, kissing.
You can have the Coco Van.
Josh and Natick. I'm sorry, John.
And Per Descargo.
John and Natick. Go, John.
Hey, guys.
John, you're on. Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, so I was, I tell you what the best part of this World Cup has been for me. It's been the goals. There's only been 1-0-0 game the whole tournament.
So I would not say, I mean, has it been particularly high scoring? I mean, both this was 2-1 yesterday. It was 1-0 the day before. I mean, I don't know. I don't feel like it's been really high scoring.
I mean, look, you're asking the wrong guy. The one game that I did see a little bit of was the one England won in kicks.
There's been some really entertaining games, like tying it late.
Was that Colombia? That was Colombia.
Yeah. I am someone, I like kicks. I think, you know, this is one thing soccer has right. Baseball and everybody else, we don't have all night. Even for the championship of the world. Even for the championship of the world, which we're only going to let you decide every 4 years. Nothing could be bigger than this. We don't have all night. We're not going to sit here and watch you play grab ass for 4 hours to figure this thing out. We're going to give you 90 minutes. Then we'll give you an extra 30. And if you can't figure it out then, we're going to have a little skills competition, and then we're all going to go home.
And they are not shy with the misery porn in the crowd, too, once
the
team
loses.
Oh, it's
great, isn't it?
Oh, it's great. Sweden loses. They show all, like, the crying huts. A lot of crying children all over the place.
The crying huts?
Did you see that Swedish crowd?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Tremendous.
A lot of good genetics in that country. yesterday, all these sad Brits. Oh, it was great.
Was that the Colombian guy who hit the crossbar? Was it a Colombian guy? Do you remember that in the kicks against
England?
In the
England? Kicks?
Yeah. I think it was
together.
A Colombian guy who hit the crossbar. The Peverly of Colombia.
I feel bad for the Russians. Or the refs. Or whoever let Russia
lose. Right, someone's going to die.
Whoever was responsible for that loss in kicks in Russia. I don't want to be that person.
I would fear for that Colombian guy, too, I'm telling you. Given the history there.
Mike and Woburn, go.
The nerve toxin is going to be flowing like wine in Vladivostok when that guy gets home. Yes, can I join in on Team No France? My God. Like, if they win this World Cup, it will still be a over 100-year streak of them not winning anything significant without someone knocking out Germany first.
Excellent.
And honestly, can you think of a better sport, like, fit to the French? You can't touch anybody, and you collapse as soon as there's the slightest provocation. It is completely fit for the French and their history. And honestly, like, it's Montreal East. How can anybody around here root for France? It's mind-boggling to me that anybody would be sporting the blue, blanc, and rouge of the French. Like, seriously, just, I'd be burning berets in the street if I could.
Good job, Mike. Oh, and the hair. Check out the hair on some of these French players. Oh, the hair. Dude, how long do you spend in the mirror before you go out to play a game? Look at the hair on some of these dudes.
Oh, that's all of Europe. Poor any of these teams, the Portugal team, Spain.
No, it's true. And it's another thing to really bash the sport over.
It's
my
just
God.
Me sitting there being envious. Look at that flow.
Oh my God, but that hair, the hair on some of these guys, it's not just that they have nice hair, pretty hair, the time they must spend. Dude, how much time did you spend on that coif before you went out to play? You're more worried about the coif than you are about the game.
You can't blame a guy for worrying about his hair a little bit, can you?
Continue with your thoughts on this. We will circle back to the Red Sox. I do want to get to some things Adam Silver had to say yesterday or this week in a State of the NBA kind of press conference. We'll do that right after these words.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm not here to say we have a problem, but and I love where the league is right now. But as I said earlier, I think we can create a better system. We learn from each successive deal. We try new things. We make predictions about how caps and exceptions will work. We have great economists who come in on our side of the table. The union does as well, but it's not a perfect science. And trying to predict the behavior of our teams, and things change in the marketplace as well. So I don't necessarily think it's per se bad that the Warriors are so dominant. As I've said before, we're not trying to create some sort of forced parity. What we really focus on is parity of opportunity. Dynasties are nothing new in this league. You know, there's a long history of it. And I also think it's hard to make comparisons to other sports.
So a couple NBA things here. That's Adam Silver, the commissioner, defending the nature of the NBA and the utter lack of competitive balance that feels like is going on in the league. Four straight finals of the same two teams. Has that ever happened in NBA history?
I don't believe it has, no. I think when it happened the third time, that was the first time it ever happened.
So, like, I hear people defend this all the time and saying that the NBA has always been like this. Yes, the NBA has always been top-heavy. Yes, of course. Duh. Yeah. It's always been top-heavy. Has it ever been this bad?
No, I don't think so, no.
Okay, so that's where, I mean, we're talking about degrees.
I mean, again, in the 80s, you know, everyone says Celtics, Lakers. The Celtics, you know, played Houston in two finals. The Sixers get in there. The Pistons get in there.
But at least there were two teams.
Yeah.
Now there's one. So, I'm sorry. That it's always been bad. Now it's been the worst. That's the worst it's ever been. That's just a fact. But it is a league that is prone to dynasties and prone to dominant teams. Of course it has been. But is it so bad now that they have to do something to fix it? And Adam Silver seems to say no. I mean, says, I don't think it's a problem. Said, not per se a bad thing that the Warriors are so dominant. He says, we don't want to do forced parity. We want parity of opportunity. Is there parity of opportunity?
Yeah, generally, yeah.
Definitely there is.
Yeah.
They can't create any more opportunity than they've created. This is all a long way of me saying, I don't think there's anything they can do. I don't think there's anything they can do on a competitive balance issue. Nothing they can do.
See, when you say parity of opportunity, and this is, it's not, in some ways, no. And when I say that, I mean, but it's not anything the league could fix. Like when you say parity of opportunity, does Cleveland really have the same opportunity as the Lakers to sign a good player?
Not.
Based on location.
Right. Because
Or Milwaukee.
So here's the wild card that no one can account for, and that's just players doing what they want. But in terms of the league and their system, they've done about everything that they can. I mean, if you sign your existing player, you can offer him an extra year and $30 more million or whatever, right? Those Supermax deals are just to keep players on their existing team. There's all sorts of different rules. You can go over the cap with your own players, not someone else's. Like they already have these things in place to keep players where they are and where they've been drafted. And they have a draft that if you suck, you draft high. So like, what more can they possibly do? They could have a hard cap and eliminate all these exceptions. But again, if a player wants to take less to go win a championship, there's nothing you can write in a CBA that's going to prevent that. If a player wants to go somewhere because he wants to wear shorts in December or because he likes to party on South Beach, there's no CBA. There's nothing you can do in your collective bargaining agreement to address that.
So I'm just playing devil's advocate, okay? Because generally, a player's going to go where he wants to go. I mean, there really is nothing you can do. But what about if you were to put something in like, you know, you can only have two all-NBA players on your roster or something like that?
So then how do you affect that? A guy gets the third NBA, and now you're forced to deal one of those three players?
No, meaning you can't.
You have two, and you get a third.
You wouldn't be able to add one if you already have two or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just throwing crap against the wall.
So like,
even that, you know what you do if you're one of those teams? You hold a guy out. In other words, let's say you have Steph Curry and you have Klay Thompson, and they're both all-NBA, and you want Durant, and you're going to roll to 73 wins?
Hold him out the final month so he's not all-NBA.
So he doesn't become all-NBA.
And the most recent one is DeMarcus Cousins taking half of what he could get somewhere else. Well, that's not an all-NBA player this year. And it's like so that's the most recent one. I just think, and this is what's different versus this uncompetitive league versus past uncompetitive leagues, and that is it's now the players conspiring. Back in the 80s, it wasn't like Magic saying to Worthy, you come play with me and we'll bring Kareem in and now we've got our super team, and Larry going to Kevin McHale and Parrish saying, no, that was, you know, whoever, Jerry West or Pat Riley or Red Auerbach.
Pulling strings.
Now it's the players, so there's nothing Silver can do about it. But it is a problem. It's always been a problem in the league. It's always been a problem. But that doesn't mean there aren't other changes that I think they should look at. Here's one. They want to... They don't just want to. They are. They will eliminate the one-and-dones. 18-year-olds are coming back to the NBA. Play that cut, Billy. Please. Adam Silver yesterday on one-and-dones.
They're coming back.
From the halls of Montezuma Billy, to the shores of Hippo.
Billy's not even listening. Adam Silver on the one-and-dones.
My view is that we're ready to make that change, that it won't come immediately, but that when I've weighed the pros and cons, that given that Condoleezza Rice and her commission has recommended to the NBA that those one-and-done players now come directly into the league, and in essence the college community is saying, we do not want those players anymore. I think that sort of tips the scale in my mind that we should be taking a serious look at lowering our age to 18.
So it's coming. So this is going to happen in the next 2 to 3 years. 18-year-olds will be back in the NBA draft right out of high school. And I think this is something that has really, it's not just killed the NBA, it's killed college basketball. It's just, this has helped no one except for the individual players, and it's their right. So, like, I don't mean to, it's their right to earn a living when they're able to earn a living. And so that's like, I don't want to take that away from them. I'm just telling you, as a consumer of these leagues, it's really hurt the NBA because these guys come to the league and have no idea how to play, really. And it's killed the college game, where there's just, like, someone like me who, like, maybe I might get into college basketball if, just like, for example, that Kevin Durant had to play it out at Texas and Steph Curry had to play it out wherever he was, or so-and-so had to play it out, and now they're there, their second, third year, and now you get Larry Magic for the NCAA championship when they're juniors and seniors, and you've built up teams and identifiability. It goes from year to year, and, like, that to me is what would bring me back to the sport. You know, Pat Ewing stays all 4 years, and it's like you build that identity with that program and that player, and now there's just none of that.
So, look, I like that idea, and again...
But so what I'm saying is, I wish they're not... So they're not making these guys go to college for 1 year. It's back to zero. I think I'd love to see them figure out how to keep them in college for at least three.
Well, so that was going to be my question, is that not every 18-year-old, though, is going to opt for the draft. Right? There are going to be a lot of kids that say, no, I'm not there yet, man. I'm still going to go to college. It's just that you can't be there for 1 year anymore.
Oh, that's a great middle ground there. So
right? So my question is, but then what I don't know is, how long do you then have to stay in school? Like, and because that rule has changed so many times, I have a hard time keeping track of it. If you opt to go to college, how long do you have to stay?
Can you make them stay for three if you opt to go to college?
Exactly. Like, years and years and years ago, it used to be that you weren't eligible for the draft until your graduating class came up.
Right.
So, you know, if you skipped a year of college or whatever, when you were a junior, you were eligible. Right? So, I want to know the other half of that. What's it going to be? Like, if a guy does say, well, look, I'm going to be a high pick, but I'm not ready yet. I need time. I'm going to go to college.
I just think the one and dones are horrible. The drafting high school kids is horrible. These kids come to the league, and it's like you're live and in-person development camp. And that sucks. I mean, we've grown to accept it, but it's really not good for the league that you got to watch these 18, 19-year-old kids come into the league and have no idea how to play, and you're just sort of training them as you go. And meanwhile, the colleges have no identifiability. A bunch of kids down there who don't know how to play, and no one stays together long enough to build any sort of momentum there from a fan standpoint. And so I would love to see them somehow, if you go to college, keep them there.
For 3 years at least.
I think it's a great idea, Miz.
I mean, to me, I want 3 years. Two's not enough. It might end up at two, but you should get three.
Quickly, how about any other little things? You know, and Silver sort of shot this down yesterday. I won't play the sound, but this idea of seeding 1 to 16 with no Eastern Conference, Western Conference.
So I like the whole East-West thing. I do. I like the whole East-West thing. And so I understand what they're trying to do, but I like the sort of territorial nature of it. I like the idea that there is some East Coast, West Coast bias. Like, I like all that. It's always been there. So to me, I wouldn't mess with that. I don't mind it the way it is. But
I'm for it. You're likely to get more competitive early around series, so I'm for that.
I think you'd get more interesting or more, I don't know what I'm looking for.
From the quarterfinals on, it would be better. But 1 versus 16 will be an absolute... I mean, it's a landslide as it is.
1 versus 8 is an utter waste of everyone's time as it is.
Correct.
Like you just said.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, maybe it gets better later on in the playoffs, but then you run the risk of not having a great final, per se. And I think the league puts an emphasis on the final.
And, you know, what they really need to do, which, again, they'll never do, is reduce the number of playoff games. Because, again, the first two rounds are just...
waste of time.
Oh, my God.
Best of five.
Obligatory. Can you go to best of five in those... If it's... Yeah, the only series that are competitive is just the home team winning. So we're just like, we go to Milwaukee, lose, come to Boston, win, go to Philly, lose, go to Cleveland, lose, come to Boston, win. It's like, if that's what we're going to get, can we just do that five times instead of seven? Or if it's just going to be sweeps, can we get three and out instead of, just save us some time here?
Do you like the 1 to 16 seeding better?
I do like it. I just think there's more variety there. And even if if it's going to be a first-round wipeout, let's have it be a first-round wipeout against teams that you don't normally see. And it just sort of change up the uniforms. They all complain about the travel, which I think is just asinine. If you see how these teams travel, like, so what? You're in the air for 2 hours to Milwaukee, but five to L.A.? What's the diff? It's, you travel like kings. So please, yes, I would do the 1-16. Any more lottery changes?
No, I like the direction they're going in to help mitigate the tanking.
Flatten out a little bit.
Yeah, just exactly. I don't know if you can go full flat, because then you're going to run the risk of a team that has the 14th worst record getting the number one pick, and you don't want that either.
I'd like to see them go to a hard cap, or just, you know, eliminate some of these exceptions and all these rules. It's impossible to follow as a fan or a media guy. It really gets in the way of just sort of the player movement as you analyze it. I don't know if they'll do that, but it's not going to cure the competitive balance thing. Because the players are going to take less or want to go to warm weather, there's nothing you can do to change that. So you're still going to get the super teams. Just be easier to follow. But anyway, those are some NBA thoughts for you. Your phone's on everything right after Murray's update.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Hey, let's start with some Celtics news, eh? The Celtics are playing the Knicks in the first round of the Summer League playoffs. Ooh, very exciting there. This is tipping off, right now in Las Vegas. The bad first week of work for rookie Robert Williams, well, that continues. Williams out for today's game due to his knee injury. But how about this from Keith Smith of Real GM, verified account on Twitter. He tweeted minutes ago, you know who's watching this first round playoff game in Vegas? Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving in Las Vegas to watch the Summer League Celtics. He said this actually from a team source. Quote, ignore the noise about Kyrie not liking it in Boston and about being jealous of the kids and the attention they get. This team is closer than any team I can remember. Again, that from a Celtics team source on Kyrie Irving. Did you just puke, Maz? Because he didn't believe the news. This also from Keith Smith, an update on Marcus Smart. From a Celtic source, there's nothing new. It's a staring contest, a game of chicken, whatever. Boston has a number and won't move off of it unless someone makes them move off of it. Okay. The Red Sox welcome in the Blue Jays for the first of a four-game series tonight at Fenway Park. David Price on the mound for the Red Sox. Jay Happ goes for Toronto. Some lineup notes. J.D. Martinez, the DH, batting third. Steve Pierce, first base, batting cleanup. Brock Holt, second, and batting sixth. Eduardo Nunez at third base, batting seventh, because the Red Sox placed Rafael Devers on the 10-day DL today, retroactive to July 11th. They brought up Tsui Lin from AAA Pawtucket and added him to the 25-man roster. Tonight's first pitch at Fenway, 7:10. Headlines are brought to you by Deep Eddy Vodka, gluten-free, award-winning original vodka, Deep Eddy Distilling Company in Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume. Please day drink responsibly. I'm Jim Murray for Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Next update, 30 minutes.
Miss something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
All right, back to the phones as promised. Here's Jim in New Hampshire on Marcus Smart. What do you got, Jim?
Hey, I was just thinking, Marcus Smart, a couple of thoughts and I'll get off. If Marcus Smart leaves the Celtics at this point, do you envision him in the next probably 6 to 7 years of his career playing for another four or five teams? And also just a thought on LeBron moving to L.A. Didn't he just trade, like, the Cleveland Cavaliers for the L.A. Lakers, but it's going to be harder for him to make the finals now?
Yeah, definitely. He did. But I think his brand's more important to him right now, and he thinks he can build it out there in Los Angeles. Marcus Smart, you know, if he signs a long... I mean, I don't know. I feel like he's a perfect role player on a good team.
He is.
You know?
It's exactly what he is.
And so, I don't know. If I were... He'd be great on Golden State, great on Houston, great for you. He'd be a great pickup for Philly. Oh, God. You know, I think you'd look at that Philly-Boston series differently if you swap Marcus Smart from you to them. So I don't know if that means he keeps switching teams to be that guy on good teams or what, but that's just what I think that he is.
Yeah, he's going to move a lot in his career. Yeah, because I think he's exactly what you said. And you know what? Players like that do move a lot. They go to good teams. So, like, and you know, he's a defensive specialist, really, is what he is. But, like, you know, someone brought up Jamal Crawford earlier. How many teams has he played for now?
A million.
Yeah, those guys move all over the place. He will move. There's no two ways about it.
Nick is driving his car. Hi, Nick. What do you got?
Hey, guys. So, ever since Kevin Durant joined the Warriors, the league has been an absolute crapshoot. It's just been a terrible league. It hasn't been entertaining at all because you always know who's going to win the whole entire thing. So, I don't know. Are you guys, like, this is kind of a crazy question to ask, but would you guys be opposed for a new league to compete with the NBA, kind of like the XFL? I know that's a crazy question.
Oh, I'm all for secondary leagues. Oh, I used to be the biggest USFL fan that you read about. If they start, if any sport started a new league, I'd be in, all in, all in. I would love to see, one of my dreams is to have Boston get a National League team. Wouldn't it be great to be able to leave the Red Sox if you wanted to leave the Red Sox? Like, I'm done with you. You bug me. You're good, but you bug the crap out of me. I'm going to root for the Braves or whatever. Like, wouldn't that be nice to have that option?
Sure.
Oh, I would love to have a National League team in Boston. But no, I don't think any of that's going to happen.
There were rumors about it a few years back, if you remember. They were thinking of having the Expos movie
right,
for a while.
That's
remember
right,
that?
That's right. Oh, I would have been all in on the Spos.
And when the Red Sox were on the road, they'd play at Fenway.
Oh.
Remember that? Like, I would love that, but I don't know if the Red Sox would go for it unless the team was paying them to rent the ballpark.
There's no way the Red Sox, are you kidding? The Red Sox would, it would never happen because of that.
So yeah, unless the rent was high enough.
But the thing about the NBA, I said this a couple weeks ago, I think is a really good regular season product. There's some really entertaining regular season basketball. I think the style of the game has never been better since maybe called the 80s. You know, I think there's so many teams that move the ball beautifully. There's so many good players. There's so many. If you have the NBA package and you flip on, you know, there's Giannis over here or there's someone like there's oh, there's just Anthony Davis here and Anthony Towns there and Giannis there. And like there's just a lot of brilliant players. And you get in the playoffs and you get too many series that are totally uncompetitive or just the home team wins and the road team quits. And it's like, well, what am I doing now? What am I watching this for? And I think that's where the NBA, in my opinion, has run into a problem. Justin and Lynn on the soccer. Yes, Justin.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I think U.S. is just a great coach away from making a great run. And the reason why is, I know you're going to say it's a friendly, but when we played France a couple weeks ago and it was a draw, it was the same starting 11 that France is going to use in the World Cup final. I just simply think we are a great coach away from making a great run.
So you're a program away. Because, no, you can't tell me that any country has better athletes. They don't. So the soccer in the U.S. is a program. It's not like you're one of these little countries that, well, where are we going to get our players? Like, if I'm England, I'm saying, where am I going to get my players from? If I'm the U.S., you've got the talent pool. It's just so whether it's the coach or the program or the mentality.
Well,
or
what about the skill development?
Yeah, so that's it. I mean, you have the people with the raw ability, the skill development. So what is that? Is that a coach? Is that a head of U.S. soccer? Whatever that is, that's what you're away. That's a giant thing, though, by the way.
It is, yeah. That's a program.
I mean, that's a huge – that's not a small deal. That's a big deal.
I mean, like, you know, not to, like, throw this in your face, but you go back to the book Outliers and the whole 10,000 hours thing, like, yeah. That people who excel, the 10,000 hours starts when you're about 7 years old. Like you said, that's a program. That's what that is.
And now the only kids there, are the ones who go to Europe at that age who have a chance. It feels like. Yeah. What do we got here? How about Mike and Methuen? Go, Mike.
Just quickly on you briefly touched on the player development thing. One of the things that we need to change as a country, if we're ever going to compete with the Frances and even Croatias, we need to incentivize player development. So right now, I think we're like one of the only countries in the world where. Like a small club develops a young player and they don't get a kickback on the sale fees like way down the road. So there's no incentive. So it's either you're paying crazy amounts for like player development academies or you're just not gonna, or nobody's gonna find you. That's probably the biggest problem.
Kind of the pay to play thing. It's a big conversation that we're not gonna do here. But you have the athletes. And unlike in the past, the money is there. The MLS, you may hate it. It may not be the best in the world, but those teams make money, that league makes money, and the players are starting to make real money. So you don't even have to go to, you know, Germany or England or one, you know, you don't have to go to Spain to make your money. So you have the athletes, the league is here, the money is there to be made. However you figure that out, whatever that is, pay to play, the club system, do that on your own time. Just figure it the hell out, because it's there. It's there for you.
Yeah, no, just real quick, because I saw that 60 Minutes piece. I don't know if you saw it on Pulisic this past Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, that kid isn't a big superstar here.
It's a crime.
It really is. He's like soccer Garoppolo. Good-looking, extremely talented. Like, this kid should be all over the place on every television. And he plays for, what, Dortmund or whatever it is in Germany?
But it's not just that. This is the price of the U.S. missing this tournament. You're missing a whole, this is going to be Pulisic is going into his prime. This is his whole coming out party for his to be a crossover superstar, and he's nowhere.
Well, that kid's a prodigy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's the one that the parents took him over to Germany,
yes,
and the whole
exactly.
Nine yards. Yeah, so you know, this would have been a coming out party for him. It would have.
Okay.
Complete whiff job.
Long commercial-free segment is next, and we will reset our Red Sox topic, which basically could be summed up as thus. The Red Sox have 65 wins. They've won 9 in a row. They're on pace for 112 wins.
Mm-hmm.
They have the best record in baseball, and according to Maz and Murray, they suck.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Maz.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And we're looking to end it. And that is big, isn't it? Strike three, the Red Sox win again. And a beat goes on for Boston. The Red Sox have made it 9 in a row. And they sweep an opponent, TC, for the third consecutive series.
Thirty-six games over .500.
36. It's ridiculous.
On pace for 112 wins?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, in fact, if they went 500 the rest of the way right now, they finish with 99 wins.
Best record in Major League Baseball. The fewest games it's taken the Red Sox to win 65 games was 103 in 1978. I guess it's from Dave Cherubin.
And that team didn't win a playoff series either.
How'd that season end?
Oh, my God. You guys are unbelievable.
Yeah, Bucky F and Dent.
They've won their 65th game. It's a great stat. 65th game in their 93rd attempt. The quickest previous to this was 78 when it took him 103 games to do it.
Wow.
Now you're patronizing me.
No, I'm not patronizing. It's pretty good. I mean, they're playing insane baseball. There's no two ways about
and
it.
And you think they suck, Murray? You think what? They're what?
Yeah, they're gutless, and they're going to lose in the playoffs again for the third straight year. Gutless losers. That's what they are. Yeah, I stand by that.
See, again, you are manipulating the facts.
I'm not manipulating anything.
Yes, you are. You're manipulating the facts.
I'm not. How I
never said they sucked.
I'm talking to Murray over there.
You said you and Murray think they suck.
Yeah, man.
Okay, that was fine. That was a tease. That was a tease.
Okay.
Now I'm talking facts. On pace for 112 wins, it's only taking them 93 attempts to get their 65th win. The previous best of this franchise, it took them 103 games, so they're just blowing doors all over the place. They've won 9 straight.
Wow.
Patronizing. And Murray thinks they're gutless losers.
Yep, because they're going to fail again in the playoffs in the first round. Out.
Out. And so, Murray, for those watching on the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, you've introduced a new asterisk whiteboard.
That's right. Went to Staples this morning, bought myself a new whiteboard, the first whiteboard since the Bridgie Celtics. That also had the asterisk. And, 65 wins. It will continue to grow. Actually, Price is on the mound tonight, so you won't get win 66. But the next time they get another win, 66, it will also have an asterisk right next to it. So there you go. I don't care if they finish.
And what's the asterisk? What does it denote? What does the asterisk say at the bottom of the page?
Suck it is what it says here on the whiteboard. But what it really means is that these are weighted. They're weighted wins.
Wind-aided.
Yeah, because they're playing complete crap. I can't take them seriously. What I can take seriously is that the Red Sox have a game over 500 record against playoff teams so far this year, whereas their competition that they have to worry about between now and October.
I'm sorry. They have a winning record against teams in the playoffs.
Barely.
Huh. A winning record against teams in the playoffs. Thus, if they got into the playoffs and had a winning record, odds are they're going to win it all.
Well, it's 12-11. It's just a game over 500, so
what's
I don't feel
the diff? If you win the series 4-3,
well,
you've won the series.
I look bigger picture, Mike, and they've failed in the playoffs the last couple of years, and I fully expect them to do that for the third straight year. They're a game above 500 against playoff teams this year, so I still don't take them seriously. The Yankees, on the other hand, a team that got within a few outs of making the World Series last year, the Yankees ahead of schedule, the Yankees who will make moves to shore up the rotation, the Yankees, they are 20-8 against playoff teams this year. Them, I trust, to go further than the Red Sox, who will continue to have the asterisk on them, while the Yankees will not have an asterisk.
It's interesting. They've won 9 in a row. No, that's 3 series, right? They said 3 series sweeps. Is that what Dave O'Brien said in the highlight? 3 series sweeps in a row.
That's correct.
3 in a row. That's pretty good.
The Nationals, the Royals, Texas Rangers.
Huh. What's the last game they lost, Murray?
That was a Sunday night against the New York Yankees.
Ah.
Prime time ESPN game.
Right.
Luis Severino, arguably the best pitcher in baseball, against...
I remember this game.
Hello. David Price on the mound for the Red Sox.
Who's never heard of you.
Who gave up 5... moonshot home runs.
And who's pitching tonight, Murray?
Hello. David Price on the mound against J-Hap.
9-game winning streak. Feels to me like I've got just the man to end it.
Such an a-hole.
So, look, I mean, all I'm telling you is, and I've said this consistently from day one, despite what Red Sox fans want to hear. Okay, what I've said and what they hear are two different things.
You've actually been positive on the team?
They have a good team. They have a good team. I need to know if they're a great team. That's what I need to know. Good teams don't win championships. Great teams do. So let's find out, or great teams at least make a run, and more often than not, they actually win.
Okay, so we all know we need to wait and see. Why aren't you confident in them? And this, again, you had a conversation yesterday all day long about what teams do you have confidence in Boston.
Yes, and Murray and I had the Red Sox fourth.
Which is just insane that you would have more confidence in Don Sweeney, Cam Neal, and these guys that have won nothing versus the Red Sox. And now go ahead and say it.
Red Sox who have won nothing.
Who have won nothing. I know. But you know,
Charlie McAvoy has won more playoff series than the Red Sox have. Fact.
I mean, I just think that's insane.
Fact.
I just think that's putrid.
Well, I'm just going by the scoreboard.
Okay, again, the Bruins got by in Game 7 when the opposing goalie couldn't stop a beach ball. The biggest loser franchise in sports in the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I know, silly me. I just go by the results. Like, scoreboard.
Okay, so
I go by the scoreboard.
Because the Bruins squeaked by and then got their asses handed to them in the next round, they have more of a winning resume than the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, the young players on the Bruins have won more playoff series than the Red Sox young players. Fact.
So this is
not opinion. Fact.
This is all you're going on.
I'm telling you that the Red Sox have taken a serious blow in the postseason the last 2 years. It's a major blow. They've crapped themselves in the playoffs. They haven't just lost. They have crapped. They're 1-6
in the
postseason.
And you don't feel this team's any different?
I feel they're different in the regular season. I don't know about October yet. I like what I've seen. But again, after Sale, who pitches game two?
David Price.
Okay, how do you feel about that?
I don't love it.
That's a loss. I feel they're what they were against the Yankees a couple of weeks ago. This is fool's gold. This is why the asterisk is there. They're going to let everybody down again in October. Oh, you're joyless. You can't enjoy this. Yeah, you're right, because this feels like a bunch of crap to me. Like, prove it against the iron in the league, and they're, okay, a game over 500 and against the Yankees? Like, that's what you really are.
We literally had a caller yesterday who said the Red Sox are already down in the division series 0-1 because Price is going to lose. So take that into account. They have to win 3 out of 4 to win the division series.
Good line by him.
Yeah, and that's a legit. Now, to me, that is a true, tried and true, dyed-in-the-wool Red Sox fan. That is a guy who gets it, who understands sort of where they are. Now, look, again, I like this team. They're good. They're good. But for all the stuff that people throw out there about, well, their rotation's better than the Yankees, is it? After game one, who do you have confidence in? Because I don't, other than Sale, and even Sale, you know, I'll give Sale a pass. Sale.
You've got to have confidence
no,
in Sale.
No, I'll give Sale a pass on last postseason because it's his only trip in. Okay, and they mishandled him during the regular season, so a good chunk of that isn't on him. I hope that it manifests itself, all this extra rest that they've given him, manifests itself in a positive way in October. I hope that we see that, but I believe in Sale because I think he's a competitive guy and he's got balls. The rest of them, I don't know. Porcello, I think, has balls. I just don't know if he really has the stuff.
He should have balls. He feels to me like someone I should be confident in. But 0-3 with a 5 ERA career postseason, something
yes.
like that, right?
Yes, he's never won in the postseason either. So I just think there's a huge thing there for them that they're going to have to overcome. This winning streak, it's cute. It's nice.
It's
9
exactly
in a row.
Yeah, so why? Okay, and if you want to make the argument that Maz, and especially me, are going too far the other way,
mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same on the other side. 60-plus wins and counting, now 65. Well, come you to take this team seriously? They're great. Okay, so you're going to put them against the 07 Red Sox? That was wire-to-wire, and that team was a wagon and rightfully won the World Series. 04 Red Sox, late 90s Yankees teams? Please stop it. They're not that good.
Okay.
This is weighted.
Those are our Red Sox thoughts. We've also hit on the Marcus Smart situation. Some big-picture NBA stuff, direction of the league. Is there anything they could do to curb the competitive imbalance that they have in the league? Anything like that, that's on the table. We had a little bit of the World Cup stuff. We've mixed in those calls, so we'll get right back to them on all this stuff right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub, the Beasley Media Group Station.